you believe assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Good morning, everyone. Broadcasting again back to you from the studio here in lovely Pahrump, Nevada. I got to tell you, after spending a week down in Southern California, down at the southern tip, right on the beach, Pahrump's just not exciting for me. I wake up and there's not much going on. And man, I got to tell you, it's just not what it was. But that is why vacation is the way it is. There's a couple of places I go in my life where I really don't feel like going home. You know, most of the time you travel, and then when you're, you know, you get towards the end of your trip, you look forward to going home. There's a couple of places where that doesn't happen. One of them is Hawaii, down with Ed and Paula. That is certainly becoming another one. And yet a third, I don't know what it is. It's Disneyland. I get struck by the magic. I just do. And it's funny. I'm not actually a big water guy. Although I did go out and play in the ocean a little bit last week. I'm a sinker. I'm not a swimmer. As a matter of fact, a good friend of mine who's certified in umpteen different forms of scuba certification, he says, "Oh yeah, you're just negatively buoyant." I'm like, "Wow, that's a very nice technical PC term for you sink like a rock." So in fact, I do sink like a rock. He says, "Oh, you know what? You should try scuba diving." You know what? I have nearly drowned three times in my life. Not a strong swimmer at all. If you can even consider what I do, swimming. And I like to go into the water, but I've nearly drowned three times. And I'd imagine if I was absolutely surrounded by it, that would not be a comfortable environment for me. And it's funny because actually a guy that I know was not able to pay for his storage unit one time. He was actually, truth be told, he was locked up. And so rather than pay all of his late storage fees and keep paying for them on his behalf, because I didn't have that kind of money, I went down and I bought his storage unit at auction. And then he was never able to actually buy the stuff back from me, pay me anything I had into it. So as it turns out, I actually have quite a bit of brand new scuba gear. This guy went out, learned how to scuba dive, rented stuff a couple of times, then went out and bought all his own stuff, used it exactly twice. Because in the desert of Las Vegas, there's not a lot of places to go scuba diving, with the exception of Lake Mead, unless you travel quite far. And Lake Mead isn't very exciting to scuba dive in, I'm told. So, and this is the type of guy, he never chintz on anything. He went out and bought two sets of some of the highest-end scuba gear that you can use. And I've got all of that garbage. If anybody happens to be interested in some very, very lightly used high-end scuba gear, email me. Because I would let this stuff go for a song. I have no need to have any of this crap in my garage, along with some of the other garbage of his that I have eventually sold off at some garage sales and such. But anyhow, wrapping all of this back up, Pahrump is not nearly as exciting as it was just 2 weeks ago. But I'm trying to keep my head above water and stay busy. I actually have a gun show to attend, sit in with a buddy of mine who's putting together a training company. That's weekend after next. We've got some prep to do this weekend. So just trying to stay busy and keep my mind off of the nice, lazy waves of the Pacific Ocean. Got some information coming up on some anti-gun legislation, which could give the U.S. Attorney General gun ban privileges. I'll fill you in after the break. Stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, on 2A Radio.
Rule 1, assume it's loaded. Rule 2, Don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule 3. Listen to the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
By the way, I guess I should mention that the Kopochne family can finally have peace. You'll remember their daughter Mary Jo. Her life was taken by the actions of Ted Kennedy. And Ted Kennedy's dead now. He died last night. So bottoms up. This guy has never done any favors to those of us who really enjoy the Constitution, the Founding Fathers, anything to do with certainly gun rights, anything at all. Such a hypocritical SOB, it's amazing to me. Back when John Kerry was running for president, they had, was it Mitt Romney, I believe, a Republican governor in Massachusetts. And if John Kerry won, the Republican governor out of Massachusetts would have been able to replace John Kerry by appointing someone to serve, someone conservative. So, pardon me, that's where Ted Kennedy did his very best to get the state law changed to where the governor didn't have that power. Now what was going to happen was you had to have a five-month referendum for people to be able to run for the open seat and someone be elected. So the seat would be unfilled for 5 months. Now with Ted having seen, the bright light coming to him, the bright lights of hell coming to him, that he wanted to give that power back to the governor so that his seat wouldn't go unfulfilled for 5 months while they put together a special election. So playing the political game always for his own good. Certainly the last of that generation of I guess brothers. So he's done. The Kopochne family can now actually have a little bit of peace, knowing that the guy that was responsible for their daughter's murder, be it first or second degree, is no longer allowed around to haunt them. I would actually hope, pardon me, that members of that family would show up to his funeral. So there you go. Okay, a bit of legislation. I don't want to do a whole bunch on Ted Kennedy. I don't really think the guy was worth it. Any gun legislation may give gun ban privileges to the U.S. Attorney General. Let me read you this story. Obama and the White House are looking the other way as Senator Lautenberg, total scumbag Democrat from New Jersey, seeks to ban guns from about a million U.S. citizens on a secret FBI terrorist watch list. We've talked about this before. But this thing, Lautenberg is really pushing. Obama has deliberately and repeatedly lied to America's 90 million gun owners across the country when he insists that he would not try to take away anyone's firearms. Now Obama's silence, it endorses Lautenberg's latest attempt at banning guns. Lautenberg proposes the extraordinary power be given to the U.S. Attorney General to limit gun sales. Lautenberg has now introduced Senate Bill 1317 that would give the Attorney General the discretion to block gun sales to people on the terror watch list. One must wonder, when did the U.S. Attorney General become the gun czar? It appears to be yet another bill requiring an effort by concerned Americans to defeat. If passed, this bill would give extraordinary powers to limit gun sales exclusively to the U.S. Attorney General. Lautenberg, you are a scuzzball SOB. Here's the deal. The Attorney General that we've got, it's the same thing like Kennedy did. The Attorney General is anti-gun, Eric Holder, and there is absolutely no question about it. Obama doesn't want you to have guns. Holder does not want you to have guns. Boxer does not want you to have guns. Feinstein does not want you to have guns. Lautenberg does not want you to have guns. All right? Who's the other guy? Schumer does not want you to have guns. There's the list goes on and on. Clinton, whichever one you decide, whichever one you deem is more important this week, neither one of them wants you to have guns. So if you believe that giving over this kind of power to the Attorney General is a good thing, then support this. S-1317 is actually the name of this bill. If not, then you know what? You need to get off your butts and let these people know. Let your senators know. This is a crock of garbage. Do not let this thing pass. What happens when the next attorney general comes in and they're pro-gun? Now all these people get to have guns again? And then the next attorney general comes in and they're anti-gun, so they take them away. Then the next attorney general comes in and they're pro-gun, so they give them back. What is with this? What don't you people understand about shall not be infringed? Shall not be infringed. Here's the other thing. This whole thing with this terrorist watch list, there's about 1.1 million names on it. A lot of them are on there incorrectly. And a lot of them, they don't have enough specificity. So, although there's 1.1 million names on there, that doesn't make them all unique. Here's Lautenberg's motives. Motives for his latest gun ban are twofold. First, he's taking small steps to enact gun control legislation, of which this is just one of those steps. Second, eradicate the gun culture altogether. All that seems to be on the minds of the anti-gun senators and at the offices of gun control extremists is figuring out how to invade your privacy and erode and eventually destroy the right and the means of self-defense. They seem determined to share the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And they just plan on putting it all together into kind of a little circle jerk of a group of anti-gun senators and shred it. Apparently, these politicians confuse the term right with the term privilege. One, which is inherent and cannot be revoked or infringed on by legislative means, and the other is only available as long as certain requirements are met. Now, the interesting thing is, there are all kinds of laws that have been passed that infringe on rights. However, until somebody takes the time and the money to fight it in the courts, it remains law. Not a fan of this system. Not a fan of this system at all. There should be, for lack of anything better to come around, there should be some form of judicial review prior to a law taking effect. Rather than they pass it, whoever's in the executive office signs it, it becomes law. Someone becomes a victim of this illegal law, this unconstitutional law, then they've got to fight it and fight it and fight it and spend the money, spend the money, spend the money, if they have the means of both time and money, which most people do not have, to finally get it ruled unconstitutional. Then that doesn't necessarily mean anything's going to be done about it. In several states, you have had state Supreme Courts rule that requiring driver's licenses for private citizens is unconstitutional. It violates their freedom of travel. Now, why would it violate their freedom of travel? Well, the U.S. highway system, the roadway system in this country, was built for the citizens. And we have the right to travel. The right, the given right to freely travel in conventional means of the day. That includes owning a car and driving it. Why do we have license plates on cars for registration? Well, so every vehicle could have a unique identifying number attached to it. Now that we've got that, why do we have annual renewals? It makes no sense. You buy the car, you get this license plate that has its own unique identifying number and the state in which it's from, and it should be done. But no, we have all these different bills and checks. I tell you, I own a little trailer, and it's like used to be a Datsun pickup truck, and now it's like the little trailer in the back. It's actually a good looking little trailer. And I got my registration renewal. I picked it up in the mail yesterday. The registration renewal is $12. The taxes are $19. That's slightly over 158% tax on my registration. And I want to know why in the hell I have to continue to pay for this. I have a right to freedom of travel. Many state Supreme Courts have ruled that for personal use, you cannot require driver's licenses, an annual renewal of registration. Once you've got that unique identifying marker known as a license plate on the vehicle, is unconstitutional. But have you seen a single DMV change of practices? The only thing that the state has the authorization to do is to regulate commerce. So if you're using the roadways, you have a vehicle and you're using the roadways, for purposes of commerce, the state has the power to regulate it. Not the right. Only individuals have rights. The state has the power to regulate it. And that power can be stripped away. So do we have the ability to ban the DMV? Effectively, we the people have the power to get legislation and vote individually on a statewide referendum to do exactly that. If not exactly ban it, to severely limit it. Should there be some sort of a course for learning to drive? Yeah, absolutely. Should there be some sort of, say, certificate that says you've passed this that might help you with getting a reduction in insurance rates? Yes. How about for being able to use that certificate to go rent a car because that's a private sector and they want to require it? Absolutely. Absolutely. But once you've got that done and you've got your license plate, it should be done with. More after the break. Stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, on 2A Radio.
You can have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, live, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
Update from a couple of things from some state representatives. A representative out of Arizona by the name of Trent Franks, Republican out of Arizona. He was considering filing a lawsuit challenging Obama's birth certificate documents and then decided not to because he's seen others fail, other lawsuits fail to really go anywhere. I believe that he would have a good chance of doing it if he did under these guys. Look, if I vote on a piece of legislation and it goes before the president, it passes my House, passes the Senate, and then it goes before the president to get signed into law, well, if he's a de facto president, not a legitimate president, then all of our work has been done for nothing. So I think if he took it on that means, he could actually go somewhere with it. Pardon me. However, he's decided to forego doing that. And it's interesting, you know, you get a lot of people that say, yeah, well, I believe he was born in Hawaii. I'm not going to worry about it. Well, still, if you look at the actual definition, the legal definition of what it takes to be a natural born citizen, which is a requirement to run for president, you have to be born on U.S. soil to U.S. citizens. Your parents both have to be U.S. citizens. And just by that sheer definition, you don't need to see a birth certificate because we know that Obama Sr., Obama's dad, the de facto president's father, was not a U.S. citizen. We know that. That he was a British subject. He was born in Kenya. In 1963, Kenya went independent. Obama Jr., the guy who's sitting in the Oval Office now, or actually probably still got his fat ass parked in a golf cart on Martha's Vineyard today, but you know who I'm talking about. I should say his narrow ass. Anyhow, he was born in 61 when Kenya was a part of the British Empire. pardon me. His father was a British subject. So just by that, you have a sheer definition that the guy occupying the White House now was not a natural-born citizen. If you looked up the requirements to be a natural-born citizen, he doesn't fill it. End of story. Who cares where he was born? He could have been born in the Oval Office. He could have been born in the center of the country in Wichita, Kansas. But because his father was a citizen of another country, that makes him not a natural-born citizen by legal definition. End of story. A North Carolina state senator by the name of R.C. Soles shot one of two home intruders. How about that? Guy's a state senator. State Senator R.C. Soles shot one of two people who he said were breaking into his Tabor City, North Carolina home at about 5 p.m. this past Sunday, said officials. Columbus County Sheriff Chris Batten said Kyle Blackburn was taken to Lawrence Community Hospital in South Carolina. Late Sunday night, a spokeswoman at the hospital said Blackburn was in good condition. The shooting occurred in Soles' property when two men went to the senator's house and tried to kick in his front door, Batten said. The other man involved in the incident, by the name of B.J. Wright, didn't get shot. He was actually spared the bullets. Multiple media outlets have reported that Wright was a legal client of Soles, an attorney, and that Soles gave him money while Wright was in prison. The State Bureau of Investigations is probing the shooting. So it looks as though this was certainly premeditated. You don't normally see bad guys doing their best just to go kick in somebody's front door. That is not the preferred method of entry, even if you're doing a home invasion. That is kind of your own personal shock and awe of sorts. Like, hey, we're big badasses, and we're going to come kick in your door, and we're gonna have a little get back on you for however you wronged us. That's what a kick in of the front door is all about. I don't know what he shot him with or where he hit the guy. Would have been nice if he just blew him off his feet with a 12-gauge shotgun right to the chest. That would have worked out fine. I got to tell you, 12-gauges really work quite well. I know a guy who is a... I've met the guy. I shouldn't say I really know him. I've met the guy who's a student. And he's a sheriff's deputy in California. And he was called to a robbery in progress at a convenience store. He's right down the street. Comes up there, throws a car in park, gets out with a shotgun as the guy runs out with a gun, starts pointing the gun at the cop, fires a round, if I remember the story correctly. And this guy fires two rounds. Now, he'd taken a couple of shotgun courses out at Frontside. And he blazes off two rounds out of his pump action 870. And as it turns out, the guy ends up getting shot in the chest. He doesn't make it. Plus, he's missing his leg from the knee down on his, I believe it was on his left side. So a bunch of the other deputies were, giving him a hard time. It's like, wow, you got one good shot, but then you mashed so hard, you took his leg out. So I guess it would have been on his left, so the right side. You mashed so hard, shot him in the leg. Well, then the dash cam video showed that he shot so fast, he got one in the chest, and while the guy was being thrown back, the other round took the lower part of his leg off because the lower half of his leg was now at chest level. Beautiful work. Beautiful work. Anyhow, we have more to come. Stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, on 2A Radio.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Bill Carnes, 1-800-313-9443.
Here's the riot of the day. I'm getting really tired of these people that are saying, oh, you shouldn't bring a gun to a political event. Okay, let me read this to you. It's called Gun Shy. Carrying weapons at political events cannot be justified. Well, let's just see. Protesters who bring guns to rallies where President Obama has been speaking are taking the national debate over health care and other issues to a new and dangerous level of concern. It's a frightening sign of how deep our divisions have become and what a bizarre turnout political debate has become. The presence of guns at a political event cannot be justified as a form of self-defense, freedom of expression, or as any way to make a better argument. Guns at political rallies send a message of intimidation or perhaps the bearer's political paranoia. Neither has anything to do with debating public issues. How does packing heat at one of these events promote the free exchange of ideas? And, let's see, that's what town hall meetings are supposed to be all about. Remember? What message does it send for someone to show up at a site where the President of the United States is speaking with an openly displayed AR-15 automatic assault rifle, you hear that, as one man recently did in Phoenix? At least a dozen people carrying weapons were in the crowd outside the arena where the President spoke. They were staying well within the limits of the law in Arizona, but just because they can doesn't mean they should. Carrying a weapon into that arena of political protest introduces an element of intimidation and diminishes the right of citizens to participate in these events without the fear of physical harm. So far, the White House does not seem alarmed. The Secret Service enforces a prohibition against bringing weapons into the immediate vicinity of a president. That doesn't make the presence of guns anywhere at these events a good idea. Freedom of expression doesn't confer on anyone the right to introduce loaded weapons to the arena of political protests. It's a punk tactic that's looking for trouble. Now, here's my question. If the mere presence of a gun would make debate marginalized, then cite for me, if you will, even one single political meeting within the scope of this story, such as a presidential speech, that doesn't have law enforcement present while carrying guns. And keep in mind, the president doesn't have town hall meetings open for debate. The president holds speeches and takes proposed questions. There's no actual open debate here. Okay, with the analogy of just guns merely marginalizing debate, wouldn't the mere presence of a fossil fuel-burning vehicle at a conference on greenhouse gases provide the same element of unbalanced debate? How about this, jackass, unnamed author who wouldn't put your name to this? Let me ask you this. Does that mean that we should submit other rights that we have away? Keep in mind, the more people that are there carrying guns, what you're worried about, what these people are worried about, is that because someone is carrying a gun, they may snap or may already have plans of a line in the sand. They're bringing their guns, and if something happens, politically speaking, where the debate doesn't go their way, that they're going to start shooting the place up. That is what their fear is. Do you realize, you ignorant SOBs, that this is not the type of person you're dealing with? If someone wanted to bring harm, they would sneak in like the snakes that they are, or just burst in and start shooting. They wouldn't mingle about in the crowd with their guns, letting everybody know, look, I am here, I have a gun, and I am within the law. It's your personal perception of people with guns that is the problem. It's not that people are taking guns there. It's your perception of people with guns. Obviously, this author has no idea what guns are all about because they use this term, and I quote, AR-15 automatic assault rifle, end quote. Anybody to put that down, you know, they have no idea what the hell they're speaking about. Will someone please send to me the definition of an assault rifle? So when I look at all the different rifles that are out there, I know which one is of assault status and which is not. Will someone please send me a clear definition? Assault in front of rifle was an anti-gun measure coined back in 1988, and it has stuck like glue. It's like a sticky bomb thrown onto the tracks of gun rights activists. And these anti-gunners are the ones filling up this greasy sticky bomb sock with an explosive load of manure and their own filthy diesel fuel. This sort of thing just exemplifies that the anti-gunners have really done a good job at marginalizing what it is that pro-gunners are all about. It also goes to show you that where most anti-gunners get their information is off of the mainstream anti-gun news media. And when you have the blind leading the blind, you never get anywhere. And that's what we've got. We've got the blind leading the blind when it comes to what things you should know about guns. Coming out of Colorado, there's a Colorado police officer who referred to as an armed populace as a force multiplier. You're going to love this. Summit County, Colorado, may soon have a new batch of licensed concealed weapons holders after Sunday's, this last one, Sunday's well-attended firearms class at the Keystone Fire Station, pardon me. Carrying a concealed weapon requires completion of the class, as well as 2 hours of training on the shooting range, said instructor Phil McFall, explained that students also take a 50-question exam at the end of the session. So it's actually pretty similar to what we have in Nevada. After completing the course, people can apply with the sheriff's office for a permit. Colorado law authorizes citizens 18 years and older to carry concealed weapons as long as they don't have any felonies on their record. Alcohol or drug-related charges are grounds for suspension of the permit until the charges are legally resolved. So 18 years old, you can actually pack concealed in Colorado. Kind of unique. Most states are 21. Statewide, the number of concealed weapons permits has climbed in the past few years, according to a 2008 story in the Denver Post. Some sheriffs attribute the rise to a series of highly publicized shootings, including one in a church where an armed citizen shot the bad guy down. You won't hear much about that because in the mainstream media, that's not the type of stuff they want to report. While others said the increase was simply due to a round of renewals of expiring 5-year permits. Other statewide statistics show that the crime rates in Colorado have dropped in recent years, although the most recent available figures are from 2007. Some studies suggest states that permit concealed weapons have seen some types of confrontational crime drop, but other researchers say it's a complex equation and there's no direct correlation between permitted concealed weapons and crime rates. I gotta toss in my own little 2 cents there. Doesn't really matter why the crime rates drop. You're gonna find 3 stories. You're gonna find the pro-gun people that are gonna say, yeah, it's because more people are packing concealed. You're gonna find the anti-gun people that are gonna come up with their own conclusion why crime rates are dropped. It has nothing to do with people carrying guns. And then you've got the independent research that say, well, it's a complex equation, we can't really tell. All I know is that if you take an area, a state, a city, a town, whatever, and you look at the crime statistics over the last decade, then you arm a lot of people. And then you look at the crime statistics over the next decade, they always drop. Whatever that complex situation is, that's just the way it goes. It's a historical fact. If you arm people and the drinking water got cleaner, I'd say arm the people. If you filtered the water better and crime rates went down, I'd say filter everybody's water. I don't really care what the cause and effect is. But when you arm people, crime rates go down. There are less victims. And, pardon me, had to cough. And you don't have to multiply the rates of police officers exponentially because people are armed. They are, in fact, a force multiplier. Although Summit County is a low-crime area, Summit County, Colorado, people still shouldn't be complacent, says Deputy District Attorney Christine Ward, as she told the class. She said the gang activity is on the increase in the area, and said the February armed robbery at the Come and Go in Silverthorne, as well as an increased number of sexual assaults, have heightened concerns about violent crime in Summit County. Last year was the big year for people stabbing each other, Ward said, explaining the rationale for self-defense. You can't get complacent, said McFall, who teaches 6 to 10 classes per year. The aim of the course is to show people how to carry and use firearms responsibly in threatening situations. Part of the instruction covered, applicable to Colorado statutes, includes the Make My Day law, which gives people the right to defend themselves, others, and their homes with deadly force. At the same time, Ward and McFall cautioned that avoidance is the key to personal safety. Couldn't agree more. You should be thinking about how you will avoid using it. You don't fight fire with fire, and you fight fire with water, she said. Not everyone in the class necessarily will end up carrying a concealed weapon. I've been a hunter since I was 12, said Dan Holtz. Sunday's class was an opportunity to gain familiarity with handguns, Holtz said. I don't know if I'll apply for concealed weapons permit. That's what this guy Holtz said. Frisco Police Sergeant Jim Donahue also offered a brief presentation at the class, emphasizing that he was there on his own time as a private citizen, not as a representative of the town's police department. Having an armed populace, in my opinion, if they are licensed and properly trained, is a good thing, Donahue said. The key to this whole thing is training. It's a force multiplier for us, being the police, he added, explaining that there are certain situations when police can use the help of armed citizens. Now, let's take that to Mayor Daley. Let's take that to Mayor Bloomberg. Let's take that to the state representatives in Illinois and in Wisconsin and in California and in Hawaii, these other places that don't have CCWs or they're severely limited, and this whole mother may I sort of deal. So, anyhow. Let's see. I actually have a request for my email address, which I try to spit out on a regular basis here. My email address is bill@2aradio.com. 2A is in Second Amendment. 2aradio.com. bill@2aradio.com. So there you go. Evidently, we've had a couple people call in and request that. I don't have that on my bumpers, but I very well may put that in there. So we're always throwing out the call-in number, which is funny because I love callers, but nobody ever calls in hardly. 800-313-9443. I'd love dealing with you guys when you call up. I really do. But maybe it's too early for people to call in, or they're at work and they can't. I don't know what it is. But it seems that I get vastly more emails than I do phone calls. So again, phone number 800-313-9443. Email address bill@2aradio.com if you want to contact me. And quite honestly, the phone calls here take less time out of my day later answering the emails that I get, but I'm happy to answer the emails. By the way, Joe in Pennsylvania, fella sent me an email about a month ago, and he says, you know, I really, really enjoyed your 4th of July show. And what I'd like to know is if there was any way you could burn a CD for me so I could have my grandchildren listen to it, because they don't really know much about the history of Independence Day and the 4th of July. And I'd like to be able to send that to them, with them, to their classes, so they could play this in their classroom. Would you be willing to do that? And I said, absolutely. So I burned a copy of the CD, made a nifty little label for the front of it, and sent it off to Joe. And I got a response letter from Joe. Joe, thank you very much for the response letter and everything in there. I really appreciate it, and I hope you do enjoy it. If anybody else needs something like that, you can certainly shoot me off an email and let me know. Also, I'm going to give you a little bit of an update here. All of the archives that RBN has are available at RBN, at republicbroadcasting.org. And you can go to the archives page. You can sign up. I think it's $1.33 a month to get all the archives of all the shows, of all the hosts, everything on there. I have my own site, which is 2aradio.com. I have my archives up there as well. But I have to tell you, space, when it comes to storage space on computers, gets rather expensive. And I have used my space to capacity. So what I have done now is I started on March 16th, 2009. March is no longer up. In a month, September will no longer be up. What I'm going to do is I'm going to keep up there about 3 or 4 months worth of archives. Anybody that's going to need anything in addition to that, I'm just going to refer you to RBN. If you'd like to get a month worth of archives, you can contact me and I can burn a CD which will have a month worth of archives on it. And quite honestly, my archives are sound quality-wise a little bit better than what you will get off of the RBN site, only because I have a program that records me directly right here on the broadcast computer. And I have some pretty unique programs that actually keep, even though we downsize it to where a show is only about 11 megs when we get down to the MP3 file, it sounds like a much higher quality version. So just so you understand, if you wanted to hear into the older archives for, at this point in time, April 1st into the end of April, you're going to want to get those things listened to within the next few days, because as of September 1st, April's going to come down, so I have enough room to put September up there as we start broadcasting into the next month. There you go. That's what we've got for you in Segment 4. Segment 5 coming up. I've still got a couple other things to get to, so stay tuned. I'll be back in 3 minutes. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, on 2A Radio.
Right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443. Uncle Sam's out in to shoot me a
little too well. Finger on the trigger loaded. California is one of those states that is a may issue state. That means you can't just apply for CCW. You actually have to give them some sort of rationale why you think you need to carry concealed. And in El Dorado County, California, there's a sheriff's race that's brewing up, and a debate over who should be allowed to carry concealed and who should not is getting plenty of exposure. The sitting sheriff, at issue is the sheriff's office policy requiring the licensed applicants not only to complete the training program and pass a background check confirming that they're of good moral character, but also to show that they have good cause to carry a concealed firearm in public. And that sheriff's office doesn't tend to approve many of those. Some law-abiding citizens shouldn't have to show cause and view the issue as a litmus test for the next county sheriff. We're trying to make this a huge issue and a defining issue in the election, said Ken Greenwood, who's a firearms instructor. If I'm not mistaken, I've met Ken Greenwood before a couple of times. Under the state law, the police chiefs or sheriffs may issue concealed weapons permits to applicants within their jurisdictions who do not fall into certain categories, such as mental instabilities, drug addiction, felony convictions, things such as that. This last Thursday, the 7 declared candidates for the 2010 sheriff's race will field questions, this coming Thursday, on the issues during a community forum sponsored by the County Republican Central Committee at the El Dorado County Fairgrounds in Placerville. Placerville has a lieutenant who actually goes through the CCW applications, and his sole job is to counter the otherwise good excuses, good reasons, the rationale why people should be able to carry their guns concealed. If he can come up with a way to get out of whatever situation you think you need to carry a gun is, he'll do that and deny the permit. So on Tuesday, County Supervisor Ray Nutting will ask his board colleagues to adopt a resolution encouraging the sheriff to issue a license to any law-abiding citizen to eliminate the good cause requirement. If you live in the area, go there and voice your opinion. And far be it for me to tell you that your opinion should be that everybody who legally is allowed to carry a gun should be allowed to carry concealed, even without a permit, but certainly without having to do a mother may on. Far be it for me to suggest that be your opinion, if you don't have one already. Nutting stressed that the board has no jurisdiction over concealed weapons licenses, and the resolution is only advisory. But, he said, it reflects what I think are the values of El Dorado County with respect to concealed weapons permits. I believe a well-armed citizenry equals less crime. That's absolutely right. When you get these elected officials and they take the power into their own hand to decide whether or not you can exercise a right, we are all in a worse place. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Have a great day, everybody. I'll be back tomorrow.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The Two-Way Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.